All right. Any other prayer requests? Nope. Okay. Open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're talking about God giving us all things to enjoy. And we went through several things that men glory in and that God glories in. And what we need to do is identify how to plug into this blessing. You know, there's several things you need to know, that the blessing is not just money. Jesus was blessed in all things. The real blessing is being able to meet whatever need you're confronted with, like Jesus did. He'd feed multitudes when he needed to feed multitudes. He would raise the dead when he needed to raise the dead. He'd cleanse the lepers when he needed to cleanse the lepers. He even turned water into wine. But it's just whatever needed done at that time, he could plug into the blessing and get it done. One of the really cool things, and we just started this study on Sundays, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's how you get empowered to go meet the needs of people out in the community. You know, sometimes people need a word of wisdom. Sometimes people need a word of knowledge. Sometimes people need a full-blown miracle. Sometimes they need a healing. Sometimes they need a devil cast out of them. But whatever it is, you're more than able to meet that need when you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We talked about we must come to know God. You know, it's not enough to just know about God. I run into people all the time that know about God. And they always say some of the weirdest stuff to me. Why did God take this kid? Why does God allow hurricanes? Why does he allow tornadoes? Why does he allow famines? These are people that know about God, but they don't know God. If they knew God, they would never blame him for any of those things. See, this has been crafted into our culture. It's been crafted into our everyday language. It's so rampant that even the insurance companies call hurricanes and tornadoes acts of God. You know, they blame God for what the devil did. There's people sitting in churches doing that all the time. They know about God, but they don't know God. If they knew God, they'd know that he wasn't out to get them, that he's not out to destroy them. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Now here's an important thing. Parents need to teach their kids who God is. They need to teach their kids who Jesus is. One of the neatest testimonies I ever heard was a lady that I went to Bible school with. She was kind of pouting one day and kind of being real quiet. And she said, I said, what's wrong with you? She said, well, I don't have a good testimony like you and your friend do. I said, you guys went through hell and back and God saved you. And I said, now wait a minute. I had listened to her story and I said, you're telling me, see, from the time you was a kid, your mama had you in church, raised you in church. You grew up. You didn't go drinking. You didn't skip school. You didn't have sex. They got married. You kept going to church. You got married. You got married to a man, and now you have a paid-for wheat farm in Kansas. You raise registered Yelby cattle, and you got three great kids that turned out really good. You're telling me that you don't have a testimony? I'm saying you probably got the best testimony out of all of us. That's the testimony. The war stories are not a testimony. That's a warning story to don't do that. Amen. But she had a good testimony. I said, you mean you don't do the things you're not supposed to do, and you do the things you are supposed to do, things turn out pretty good. That's a good testimony. Amen. But it goes on here. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that's literally mature, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, you're not going to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works if you don't fully hear the full gospel preached. If you don't hear the full gospel preached, you're not going to be fully equipped. And unfortunately, there's people running around in the mission field that just don't believe in casting out devils. There's people running around in the mission field that just don't believe in laying hands on the sick and watching them recover. There's people that just don't believe in miracles. And people that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One guy asked me just the other day, he said, why don't we see mainstream Christianity doing the things of the gospel? I said, wait a minute now. You're calling all these people that say they go to church mainstream Christianity. You know, there's thousands of people going to church every Sunday that ain't even born again. How are they going to operate in the things of God if they're not even born again? And how are they going to operate in the full gospel of God if they don't hear the full gospel of God? Amen? Now, these three verses, this is why we're given the written word of God, so we can learn from Him. Jesus said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The more you learn of Jesus, the more you're going to know Him. And then the more you're going to be able to operate like Abraham did. He was fully persuaded. He knew God. He just knew things were going to work out. He knew God. He knew that God's word was good enough for him. He had a covenant. We have a covenant. We have a better covenant than Abraham had. It's sealed in the blood of Jesus. And he's alive and watching over it to make sure his will gets performed. Amen? We just need to cooperate with it a little bit. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. Says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, and willing to communicate. Now look at James chapter 2, verse 14. Keep your finger on Timothy, but go to James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now, there we are. We're to the works of this whole thing now. There's a couple things that it said. We need to be ready to distribute, need to be ready to communicate. But you have to get out of yourself. You're going to have to reach out to somebody and help them. You know, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the very first sentence in that whole verse. To the poor. Somehow, people lose focus on that. I actually had a guy tell me that he was anointed to preach to the super wealthy. I thought, really? You got a different anointing than I got when you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It happens. I've seen it all the way through Bible school. I was running into people. These guys were anointed to go preach to the PBR. These guys were anointed to go preach to the PRCA. These guys were anointed to go preach to the rich oil field people. I was down in the jail. I guess I was anointed to go preach to the jailhouse. And I thought, what is the deal here? There's no big lines trying to get into the county jail to preach to these guys. There's no big lines. I didn't see anybody on the flats out there witnessing to nobody. Well, I figured it out. There wasn't any offering plates getting passed around. It can't be about money. It can't be about money. That's how pulpiteers get raised up. If we've got a lot of pulpiteers behind the pulpits screaming money every Sunday, you hear it. You hear them, sometimes it's 30 minutes to an hour talking about money before they can even have a church. And it's still about money. It can't be about money. It's got to be about people. Amen? Now, let's look at this first part here. We talked about being ready to distribute. There's some key things, you know, about getting the financial thing flowing a little bit easier for you, but being ready to distribute of your money is one thing, but being ready to distribute of your time is another thing. Being ready to distribute of your talents is another thing. Being ready to distribute anything you got to help somebody else is what he's looking at. Well, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. It's right after Solomon, he went through the ringer. You got to know that. Having all them wives, he went through the ringer. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. He finally come to the conclusion, if you cast your bread upon the waters, you shall find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observes the wind shall not sow. He that regards the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor bow the bones to grow in the womb. And her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who makes all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold it not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. This is talking about distributing what you have. You're casting your bread upon the water. You're giving 10 bucks here. You're giving 20 bucks here. 30 bucks here. 10 here. Of course, you're tithing. You're doing what you do in the offering plate. But you're scattering it around. You know, there's lots of different ways to scatter that seed around out in the community. You know, there's sometimes you can go pay somebody's rent. You can go pay their light bill, or you can go buy them food, or you can just do something nice, but you just keep distributing that. Here's the thing about this bread. He said to cast your bread upon the waters, and that water takes that bread out there. But pretty soon, that bread comes back. But in God's system, it comes back multiplied. See, the thing about people is if we have $100 and we take $10 and give it to somebody, we took out of what we had and it turned into $90 now. But the thing about God, His riches in glory, there's never a void there. When He sends $30 out, there was already another $30 there. And when He sends a miracle out, there was already another miracle there. Now look over to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Well, wait a minute. Before we get away from here, there's one thing I wanted to show you. It says, in verse 2, it says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil should be upon the earth. We don't know. You give $10 to this guy, and he goes and buys milk for his baby. You give $10 to this guy, and he goes and gets high. We don't know. Now, there's some people, there's some characters that you just know are hustling you. But I ran into them at the gas stations, and I finally just quit worrying about it. They may buy us some food. We don't know. But scatter your seed out there. One of these days, you're going to hit a complete home run. You're going to have a blessing hit you on top of the head. And you're going to wonder, where did that come from? What seed did I sow to? What happened? How did that happen? It's by the grace of God. Don't worry about it. Just keep sowing. Amen. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. It says, there is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You know, I've heard people cuss Kenneth Copeland, just the stuff they say about this guy sometimes is just horrible. They say, he's got this big house. He's got all this money coming in. He's got all this. He's got a big jet airplane and all this stuff. And he's also spent over $1 billion on the gospel, giving it out. They actually had to take the checkbook away from him. He doesn't get a plug at the checkbook no more. So he'll go broke. He'll give it away. But that's a liberal soul. See, he spent a lot of time sowing seed out there and getting that out there. And it's coming back in big ways. Kenneth Hagin was another one that really spent a lot of time teaching the seed principle and sowing it out there, getting it out there. Somehow, sometimes people get a little religious and a little weird about money. And I've actually had preachers tell me, said that all the money goes to the church. All the money goes to the church. All the money. If you give something, it's got to go to the church. Man, you're a snake. There's poor people all over the place. They need some. They don't like that. But pastors sometimes think they need all the money. That's just not right. There's evangelists out there. There's teachers out there, prophets and apostles. And that's part of the fivefold. They call them paraministries. They're not parasites. They're part of the fivefold ministry. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He that has pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he giveth will he pay him again. Now that's talking about almsgivings. You know, they have tithes and they have offerings, and this is actually almsgivings. And when you're out, this is when you're out in the community and you run into the poor people. People think, if I give him $10, then that's $10 I don't have in my pocket. You don't understand the Bible and you don't know God. Because God said, you lend unto the poor, you lend unto the Lord. And he will repay that. Amen? So, don't worry about it. There's more where that came from. Get plugged into it and let it rip. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. So let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiplies your seed sown, and increases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Okay. Here in verse 7, is one of the main reason that the offering basket lives back there in that hole back there. That, I don't know what you call that thing back there, but it lives back there on that desk. It says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I've noticed when baskets get passed around, you don't see it unless you stand back here behind the pulpit and you watch people's faces. And then they'll scurry around, they'll try to find something to put in the basket. Some of them will just say, man, just get it gone. You know, it's not in their heart. They're not set. And then they're looking around and they're afraid people are looking at them, judging them, and then they get even worse in the comfort level, and pretty soon they just give up and don't come. You know, with a little bit of teaching, they would learn that God can do a lot with a little bit. You don't have to just fork over 10% of your income. You don't have to just fork over 20% of your income. If you're just getting started, he just wants you to get used to working with him and let him bless you. Amen. And then you learn, finally, that Jesus met it on the cross. And that it's by his grace that you've been made rich. Then you can reverse it and you can say, well, he's supplying me, so I can supply something else. I can be a part of the kingdom. It takes a little bit of teaching to get people to this point. Believe me. Believe me. When you finally learn that Jesus blessed you so you could give, it makes giving a lot easier. It makes receiving a lot easier. But if there's pressure on people to give so they can receive, the roles get reversed. And then sometimes preachers start, sometimes, you know, just in having a good heart, they're trying to teach people, and then they start adding these things. He said, you know, you get your obedience in line with God. You get this in line with God. And then pretty soon, all the pressure is on the person. And then nothing's happening. You know, I've seen people that tithed religiously for years. And they were just as broke as they were before they started. One guy actually asked me, he said, what do you think I should do? I said, I think you need to stop. He looked at me, he said, what do you mean? I think you need to just stop, and you need to look at the cross, and you need to get this thing reversed. You need to realize that it's by His grace that you have these finances. And once you figure it out that it's by His grace, you'll be able to receive from Him, so then you can let it flow. You got it so reversed that you're just plugged up and you're not receiving anything. So you got to stop that. You got to get it, put it back on Jesus. He's the one that met the need. Receive from Him so you can freely give. Amen? But you got to learn to freely receive. Now, that's being ready to communicate. That's being ready to meet needs at the church. That's being ready to meet needs in the community. And I can tell when dealing with different groups if they're really believing this. Especially, you know, I've watched different groups where they're dealing with food, you know, and they'll act like, man, we got to cut back the portions. Still like this. Let it rip, man. Put out a banquet out there. Get the best brisket you can get. Do what you can. God is, you're not going to hurt Him. He's not broke. God is not broke. Did you know that? God is not broke. They did a movie that said God is not dead. Now they need to have a sequel. God is not broke. He's not broke. And then, but when you start talking about money, people clamp down. Why? They're not understanding the gospel. God's going to freely meet this thing. He's going to get it done. If we'll just receive it and let it flow. We got to receive it. Amen? Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. This is the cross. If you ever hear a teaching that does not take you straight to the cross, stop. Now we've been talking about money. What does money got to do with the cross? Money is something that we need on this earth. And it is met at the cross. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. One of them everyday talk, Jesus owned everything. Everything. And he got on that cross and became poor. He gave it all up so that we could take his place and become rich. Amen? This drives people absolutely nuts. But there's money at the cross. There's healing at the cross. There's protection at the cross. Salvation is at the cross. Everything that we've ever needed has been met at the cross. Why is that so hard? Sometimes people have no problem saying, I'm saved by grace. I'm healed by his stripes, which is by his grace. I'm protected by his blood, which is by his grace. And then they say, I'm successful and prosperous because I'm a tither. So now it's your ability. You're successful and you have finances because he got on the cross and met that need for you. Amen? Always look to the cross. Always see the grace. Amen? Now, once you finally get that, say, I'm a tither because he gave it to me. I can push it forward. Amen? And I know the seed principle. If I give, it'll be given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, good measure. Shall men, can I get, yeah, I get this, shall men give into my bosom? I mean, you have to let your pride go and receive blessings from other people. I ran it. This young preacher was getting ready to go on a mission trip, and he's getting ready to go somewhere, and I said, man, that sounds cool. I said, you got money? He said, God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I said, that's good. So you got any money in your pocket? He said, my God's going to meet all my needs. I said, that's cool. But do you got any money to get down the road? He said, God's going to take care of the situation. I said, I finally had to grab him and said, will you shut up? Just knock it off. I want to give you $100. I want to be a part of this deal. I can't just go with you. I want to help finance this thing. If you'll just shut your mouth long enough to receive the blessing, then you can go down the road. And he looked at me kind of funny. And he said, oh. I said, yes. Some of the word of faith people are nuts. Seriously, he was gonna word of faith himself out of $100 to get down the road on. I just had to grab him and I said, man, you gotta shut up. I said, you gotta receive this. And then we got preachers on the other end of the spectrum that are begging. Every time you turn around, they're begging for something. That's not knowing Jesus. When you know him, yes, you know he's going to supply all your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But you also know that sometimes he's going to send a human. And they're going to say, you know, God just laid it on my heart to just bless this with you. God just laid it on my heart to bring you some food. You never know. I think too many people are sitting on their butts waiting for a crow to come over and drop some food in front of them. So they say, oh, God took care of me. He uses people. Sometimes there's people with compassion. One lady I prayed for the other day started crying. And she said, I'm sorry. And I said, no, I'm not. She said, you got a compassionate heart. That's a good gift. See, you got to be a receiver. And you got to understand that God will use people to bless you. Amen. Just like He wants to use you to bless somebody else. Amen. So stop waiting for a burning bush and just get out there in the kingdom and just start flowing. Just start doing something. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you that every time we learn of you, that we look into your word, you teach us something. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we thank you, Father, that Jesus has blessed us with all our needs. We ask the Holy Spirit to show us how to receive so that we can take that seed that you bless us with and go out into your kingdom and scatter it and cause somebody else to be blessed so they can look to you and say, glory to God. God is real. Thank you, Father, for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.